Catholic Exchange, our mission statement says that we want to make saints in our own time. And as Sophia Institute Press would say, that's exactly what we want to do. And so their missions really are complementary of one another. We want to make saints, we want to teach people how to pray a little bit better, and also tackle the really hard questions that faithful Catholics struggle with.
Welcome to Faith and Culture, a production of the Augustine Institute. Every week, we explore the glory of the Catholic faith and the beauty of Catholic culture. And now, here's your guest host for this week, Dr. Christopher Bloom.
Welcome back to the Faith and Culture podcast of the Augustine Institute. This is Christopher Bloom, a guest host today. Joseph Pierce is out of town. We're so grateful to have Michael Litchens with us. Michael is the editor of CatholicExchange.com. Thanks for being with us, Michael.
It's absolutely my pleasure, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think our listeners here on Faith and Culture would love to know your experience as editor at Catholic Exchange. Has it been 3 years already?
Believe it or not, I always have to think about this. I've been in my fourth year. I'm almost 5 years there, if you can believe it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
That is incredible. Yes. And you, Catholic Exchange, of course, is one of the oldest Catholic websites, isn't it?
It is. It actually was founded back in the 90s when Yahoo was still a thing, and it was trying to be the Catholic Yahoo. I don't even know if people... Does anyone know what Yahoo is anymore?
I'm not sure.
So we've gone beyond that mission, of course, since then. It's gone through a few changes, but it still exists to this day, and it still gets quite a few hundred thousand people visiting us every month.
Yes, and once upon a time, this is where Catholics like to have their email.
Yes, exactly. That was the whole idea, was it would be a central place for Catholics to have their email, get the saint of the day. We've pared a lot of that mission back. We still do the saint of the day and things like that, but we're no longer offering more than just simple evangelization.
That's terrific, yeah. So now that Catholic Exchange is part of the Sophia Institute family, of course, right? It's part of a larger mission.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the mission of Sophia Institute and the mission of Catholic Exchange within it?
They work very much together. At Catholic Exchange, our mission statement says that we want to make saints in our own time. Mm. And Sophia Institute Press would say that's exactly what we want to do. They put it more towards evangelization and growing in spirituality. And so their missions really are complementary of one another. We want to make saints. We want to teach people how to pray a little bit better and also tackle the really hard questions that faithful Catholics struggle with in a way that helps them to work through it and also find deeper love and peace with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've noticed over the years that Catholic Exchange has done wonderful work in trying to hand on the patrimony of Catholic culture and the joy in the saints in particular, but also mm-hmm. in sacred scripture and so on. What have been some of your favorite features over these past 5 years?
Oh, man. It's always hard to pick a favorite, but I would say among my favorites are learning about how the saints endured their difficult times. It's something I think in Catholicism we sometimes want to pretend, oh no, once you find God, there's no hard times ahead of anything. And anyone who tells you that probably shouldn't be trusted with too much power. But it's something that's been really a joy to me to not only publish, but also see the response. I get questions from readers all the time about, you know, what our faith is. And when we ever publish about the difficult life of faith and how to get through it, we always get people say, oh, I thought I was the only one. Thanks for publishing this. And I'll get usually a couple dozen people who say that, and then thousands of people reading. So it's like, no, you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
But now you know you're not the only one. You have the saints and God to help you with this.
That's fantastic. So are you starting to get a sense then that there's actually a community that's growing up around the website?
There very much is. I'm often amused at how devout the community can be, both in their faith and also in clicking Catholic Exchange and letting me know their thoughts on things. Our social media community, pardon me, has really grown tremendously. When I got there, social media really wasn't quite a thing, and now we're over 400,000 followers on social media, so it's been tremendous growth and a lot of sharing and a lot of feedback from people from the Philippines all the way down to Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's terrific, yeah. And how has the critical response from your faithful readers, how has that shaped your work?
I always like to say that we should be open to criticism. I consider feedback a gift. Mm-hmm. Something I'll say that has helped tremendously is from the beginning, a lot of people are giving us critical responses because our Catholic Exchange was not quite sure what it wanted to be mm-hmm. a couple of years ago as we were going through new changes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have asked us, hey, we know you talk about the culture wars or political going-ons, but that's not why we're coming to a Catholic website, and there's plenty out there. Can you help us out by doing a little bit more spirituality?
Oh.
And that's exactly what we did, and it turned out a lot more people were hungry for it than were telling me.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yes, right. So, but of course, Sophia has Crisis Magazine.
Exactly, and we also work with other websites, and we've published authors who have political bents. So, nothing wrong with politics, nothing wrong with getting involved in cultural conflicts and trying to make sure that truth wins out. What a lot of people are telling me, however, was that they were finding this on all websites, and they wanted more spirituality and more things geared towards their prayer life and learning how, or from a lot of parents, we also got a lot of questions about, how do I keep my kids Catholic? And we thought, okay, if we're going to tackle the cultural problems, let's start with the children and with people's souls, and then we can move on from there.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah, yeah. No, we did. Parenting resources are... we badly need...
yes, we do.
Any resources we can get a hold of, you know?
I know, and I'm not a parent, so I was not aware of that. I really wasn't until a lot of people told me, and I started looking and going, well, what resources out there? Oh, we need more. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, anything you can throw at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's wonderful. Yeah, and what sort of growth opportunities do you see for Catholic Exchange? What kind of projects do you envision for the future?
Well, we're doing one of them right now, and that's podcasting. We've been trying to expand our podcasting reach to more and more people. I think audio, especially in the age of cell phones, mm-hmm. is one of those untapped markets. Mm-hmm. I was reading somewhere that podcasts are going to grow 60% in 2 years.
Wow.
And this is also something that I really respect about the Augustine Institute. If we can use that new media and really reach people through their phones, it's whole new audience of untapped potential that we have there. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm excited about.
Yes. No, we are convinced that audio is here to stay. There's no doubt. You know, it's funny, the statistics about commuting are fascinating. You know, you would think that people hate commuting and they do everything mm-hmm. they can not to commute and so forth. But in fact, the statistics suggest that people settle into a certain length of commute, and then even when they change cities, they just opt for the same length of commute. It's a really interesting phenomenon. And of course, it's in the car that people are listening.
Yes.
Good. So you're branching out into podcasts. That is, we are too. So we're glad to have you in the trenches with us, and that's a great thing. Yeah. And what do you see as some of the important cultural matters in addition to parenting that the Augustine Institute and Sophia Institute that we can have a role to play in the years ahead?
There's parenting, and I think probably one of the greatest contributions we can all do, and this is perfect for the name of your institution, I think we need to learn how to evangelize the new pagans that occupy America, realizing it's no longer about evangelizing people who maybe are away from Catholicism. A lot of people have never even really known nothing about religion, have never picked up a Bible, never heard of a saint. And this can be discouraging because it's new, it's a very strange culture. But for me, this is also very encouraging because if it's one thing we have in Catholicism, it's a great history of converting pagans and making them great Christians.
Yes. And what do you... That's so well said. And what? How do you see Catholic Exchange trying to reach non-Christian readers?
We have two steps in our mind. One, we answer St. John Paul II's call for a new evangelization. So this is about re-evangelizing Catholics, reteaching them their faith, maybe I know everyone likes to joke around about how their C&E classes were growing up, and so what can we do to help fill the gap? Sophia Institute Press does a great job of textbook publishing now, mm-hmm. and making sure that those tools are available both to parents, teachers, as well as students. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our first step is, of course, evangelization of Catholics, and I think that's where we're going to see a lot of growth. But then our second step is then how do you evangelize? And I think that means teaching people some skills that in our modern technical world we're not getting a lot, which is how do you be a friend? How do you love someone? Mm-hmm. How do you really, pick up your brother's burden and carry it for them? Mm-hmm. And I think if we can learn to do both those steps, we can really see a lot of healing in this world, which is very badly needed.
So you see then that the evangelization, the outreach to non-Christians, pagans, mm-hmm. is going to have to be relational.
Very much so. I mean, I was reading some statistic the other day that usually the most millennials, my generation, so folks who are 37 and under, mm-hmm. if they are going to learn about religion, it's because they have a friend who's religious. Mm-hmm. So that's the majority. Usually if you, in the past, I'm trying to remember the title of the paper, but usually in the past, if you wanted to learn about a world religion, you had to go to a class, pick up an encyclopedia. Most people won't even do that. They have to wait until someone befriends them who's from that faith mm-hmm. and slowly teaches them. And in a lot of ways, I think that's how it's always been. I don't think this is anything new. This is going back to the Acts of the Apostles. This is
yes.
willing to walk with people. So I think
yes.
it's new and an old evangelization.
Yes, but this is fascinating. So then on the media side, we're expecting mainly to be reaching Catholics.
Yes.
And then those Catholics, through their relationships, will reach the non-Christians.
Exactly.
That does seem to be the strategy of the day. It's been great to talk to you, Michael Litchens, the editor of CatholicExchange.com. Thank you for joining us on the Faith and Culture podcast.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure. Go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith and Culture. Faith and Culture is a production of the Augustine Institute. For more information, please visit us at faithandculture.com.